media briefing. This is Dave Landers, Chief Administrative Officer for the City of Timmins. And to start things off, I'll ask Mayor Perry to provide some opening remarks.
Good afternoon to all on the line, and once again, thank you very much for taking the time to participate in this call. We all know the next couple of weeks are going to be critical in how this virus advances through our area, our community. If we've done everything correctly, we should hopefully see a flattening of the curve. And I know I'm very encouraged with what I see in the community. Once again, I'm tremendously encouraged with what I see out there with the vendors' response in controlling the crowds. The most up-to-date information, of course, we have on that is that the Premier has asked for the maximum number of people to be together is 5. I expect the vendors are already reacting to that, grocery stores especially, hardware stores that are open. To that end, again, tremendously happy the way the community has pulled together to stem the tide of this here in Timmins. I'm not sure, is Dr. Canton on the line? It doesn't sound like she is, but she had an updated brief this morning, and I'll ask our emergency coordinator, Fire Chief Tom Locker, to give that answer.
Yeah. So Dr. Canton sent this out earlier this morning. There have been no new positive cases in the PHU area in the last 24 hours. The current number of confirmed positive cases remains at 10 in the district, 5 in Timmins, 5 outside. Based on what we've seen over the last few days, the PHU reports that COVID-19 is circulating throughout the region. We need people to behave like COVID-19 is circulating in their community. And then there's information, and I suspect Dr. Kent will be on the phone, but there is information on the province's website as to what's going on as far as it relates to Ontario, and those numbers are updated steadily. Their COVID-19 information line is open from 8:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. And again, please call if you have any questions about COVID-19 to the health unit. I know she did an update, I believe, this morning on Moose FM, and she was scheduled to be here, so I suspect she's just running a little bit late.
Thank you, Tom.
All right, thank you, Chief Loughran. Dr. Catton had indicated she was double booked most of the day and would make best efforts. But moving on from there to the Timmins and District Hospital.
The Timmins and District Hospital continues to work in conjunction with the First Bank Health Unit and other healthcare agencies to ensure that we're ready to meet the needs of COVID-19 pandemic in our region. The implementation of the Timmins and District Hospital pandemic plan ensures ongoing work for continued creation of capacity in the hospital to meet the ever-changing needs of the COVID-19 pandemic. At this time, every individual is screened when entering through any hospital entrance, and following the Ministry of Health guidelines, visitor restrictions remain in effect. Details on our visitor restrictions can be found on our website at tadh.com. Physical distancing is vital for the reducing the spread of COVID-19, but it doesn't mean that you should socially distance yourself from family and friends. To ensure that our patients remain connected, free phone and TV service are available in all patient rooms. Staff are available with iPads to help patients connect with family and friends through Skype and FaceTime while visitor restrictions remain in effect. We want to take the time to say a big thank you to all of our staff who have continued to help patients stay connected through this pandemic. Their hard work and dedication has brought many positive moments to patients, their friends, and families in what can feel like a very anxious time. Individuals are welcome to drop off a cell phone or tablet and chargers to patients who are able to use them to help stay connected. Phones or tablets can be dropped off at the front entrance and must be submitted in a sealed plastic bag with the patient's name and their number clearly indicated on it. We want to send our thanks and appreciation to all of the dedicated frontline workers who continue to support and care for our community every day. To ensure their safety, the safety of our patients, and everyone else in the community, we're asking you to follow the directions of the First Bank Health Unit. Please take all necessary precautions to slow the spread of COVID-19 in our community. Wash your hands with soap and water for a minimum of 20 seconds, or use an alcohol-based hand sanitizer often. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Cough into your elbow. If you cough or sneeze into a tissue, immediately dispose of it and wash your hands. Stay home if you're sick and practice physical distancing and do your best to remain 6 feet apart. If you suspect you have symptoms of COVID-19, the Timmins District Hospital is urging you to call the Brookline Health Unit. If you're ill and must visit your healthcare professional, please call ahead and tell them if you have symptoms of COVID-19. If you require immediate medical attention, please call 911 and, if able, answer the screening questions in a timely manner to allow EMS personnel and emergency department staff to take necessary precautions. The Timmins District Hospital continues to respond to inquiries from the community. If you have any questions, please call our general information line at 705-267-2131, or you can email us at generalinquiries@cadh.com. Our contact information can be found online at cadh.com/contact-us, and we encourage members of the public looking for additional accurate information to visit the website of the Brookline Health Unit or Ministry of Health. Links to these websites can be found on our webpage. Stay safe, stay home unless it's essential, and please wash your hands often. Thank you.
Yeah, it's George Curry, the mayor, and I just one very specific question to the hospital. Do you have anybody in the hospital right now with COVID-19?
I do not personally have that information, but I can bring it back for the update tomorrow.
Yeah, we'd appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Joe, I have a question as well. Running at what percentage of capacity at this time?
Well, like I said, right now I don't personally have that information, but I can provide it here. Just go back to and can provide it to you if you need it.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Kaylee. So a couple of pieces of information that we'll hear back tomorrow from the hospital. The Timmins Family Health Team, I don't believe they've got a briefing for today. Mondays and Fridays, they're tied up with internal activity. But the message has been and continues to be that primary care is still an option for individuals, and that the after-hours clinic remains in operation, that they are taking precautions and in how they're scheduling appointments and doing a lot of work over the telephone. To help with the physical distancing of people and to ensure that the family health team staff, the physicians and healthcare providers and citizens are all kept safe in this crisis. So moving on, we'll go to municipal services and Brian Marks from the Cochrane District Social Services Administration Board.
Good afternoon. So in emergency medical services, our paramedics continue to respond to calls while also assisting with testing for COVID-19 as requested by Brookline Health Unit. Food security intend to have a schedule of resources available tomorrow, March 31st, to provide information where people in need can go and access food. Child care, DSAC continues to work with the Brookline Health Unit, the ministry, and providers to develop a policy and guidelines to be able to offer service to emergency workers and first responders who may need child care services. Ontario Works applications are still being accepted via telephone. For those already on assistance, you can contact your case manager via phone as per usual practice. Housing services applications are still being accepted via phone. You can contact your tenant placement officer via phone to provide information that will help adjust your rent as required, should there have been a change in your income due to change in employment status. Also, the maintenance phone line is still available 24/7. For seniors who live in rented income units, please do not visit with your neighbors and continue to adhere to social distancing practices and avoid allowing visitors into the building. If you need anything, please contact your worker at the DSAP, and we will make every effort to get you what you need, whether it's food, or prescriptions or whatever you might need. In terms of homelessness, the numbers at Northern College will most likely increase to 35 this week. The living space facility at 27 Cedar North will remain open for the transitional unit. However, the overnight shelter is closed and the drop-in center is closed. The lobby will be open to allow for a limited number, no more than four at a time, to receive personal items and also to assist with calls to local service providers. Living space personnel continue to monitor patients to ensure that they adhere to social distancing practices. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Brian. Dr. Catton has been able to join us, so we'll ask her to provide a briefing now.
Hi, thank you, Dave. Good morning, everyone. Apologies for being late, but as you know, we're the biggest health unit geographically across all across Ontario, and so I'm juggling many meetings with different communities and trying to support all of our branch offices, healthcare partners, community partners, and municipalities in response to COVID-19, and remain extremely grateful for the commitment and support across the region. At this point in time, we have remained with 10 positive cases. I can say we've not had any new cases identified over the weekend. We've had 259 tests completed up until last night, with 160 negative and 89 still pending. The biggest update over the weekend remains the same in that we have identified a case that signals local transmission. And what this means is we really need every community at this point in time and every community member to assume that COVID-19 is circulating and act in that manner, and so to follow the really important public health measures that we've seen show evidence of improving and decreasing, flattening the curve across other areas. So we want to make sure that we're really strong in our response in our behaviors across every community to support this with BHU. At this point in time, we will continue to provide daily updates on both our website and through media channels and social media. As mentioned, we will do formal media releases when there's something new to signal a change or something extremely different in the surveillance. But at this point in time, we'll continue to provide regular updates on a daily basis for all our communities. One other update is that the COVID-19 self-assessment tool, which has been accessible on the Province of Ontario website, has been recently revised. And so we're advising individuals who took the tool before March 27th to please have a look and take it again if they're still experiencing symptoms or have concerns. Updates include more specific instructions for people who have returned to Canada or may have higher risks associated with getting a COVID-19 infection. I think the thing to respond to with respect to testing and guidance is that we have very strong public health leadership across this country and across Ontario. The Public Health Agency of Canada, Dr. Theresa Tam, who we're all familiar with at this point in time, I believe, as well as Ontario's leadership with the Chief Medical Officer of Health Office, Dr. David Williams, and Dr. Barbara Yaffe, along with Public Health Ontario, have done a tremendous job in keeping close monitoring and sharing that broadly with the system of local public health units, as well as sharing with primary care and acute care providers and other providers within the system and the general public. And it's important that we stay the course and continue to follow the evidence-based guidance that we're given, and that's how testing has been rolled out across the system. The other new guidance continuing at this point in time is we know we've been asked to physically distance and decrease group gatherings. Over the weekend, we saw a new requirement to not have gatherings over 5 people. So this obviously does not include brothers and sisters or households that have more than 5 within it. That remains the same, that you can stay within your own household. It involves individuals that you don't live with and not being together in groups over 5. There is an exception for funerals, and at this point in time, that number is 10 or under. We continue to work with all of the healthcare providers and each of the community to facilitate assessments for individuals who are following with respect to potential testing, and we continue to work with the assessment center development across the region, and we'll provide updates as that comes about. At this point in time, the Timmins Assessment Center continues to see individuals on Monday to Friday, 30 to 12:30, based on appointments, after going through either the self-assessment tool online and phoning the Porcupine Health Unit or the primary care provider. And they were also open the last 2 weekends, and we reassess on a weekly basis whether there will be times available on the weekend, and we'll update that throughout the week. The Porcupine Health Unit COVID-19 information line continues to answer many questions and concerns from across the region, and we've increased our hours this week to 7 p.m. to try and increase capacity to answering questions for the public. And those hours and the numbers are available on our website and social media as well. So I think at this point in time, the most important message really remains the same. We've seen evidence in other areas that the public health measures are working or look like they're working. In BC, we're seeing that physical distancing is urging people to stay home, even if they're well, to stay home as much as possible, only go out for essentials. When you are out for essentials, to physically distance yourself, which is 2 meters from other individuals, is just increasingly important. In addition to this, if anyone is unwell, again, we ask that you stay home and do not expose anyone else to any infection that you may have, whether it is COVID or something else, and to continue to remain in self-isolation if you've traveled within the last 14 days outside of Canada, and follow up with the health unit or primary care provider should you have any symptoms. At this point in time, the other universal message for absolutely everyone, regardless of travel, workplace, exposure, or if you've been called as a contact of another case, is to just be diligent about self-monitoring yourself for any potential symptoms, and to remember to stay home should you be unwell in any way. I think that is it for today. Thank you so much. We really appreciate the support. We appreciate the hard work and challenges that we know everyone is facing right now during this time. And for those that are listening and staying home and really working hard to not be out in public as much as possible, and for the cases, we wish them well. Everyone is stable at this point in time and home. And we wish continued wellness for them and for those that are under investigation, and for everyone to stay well, stay safe, and be socially connected throughout these times. Thank you.
Dr. Catton, this is George Peary, and just one quick question for you, and that's, to your knowledge, are there any cases in either Timmins District Hospital or Lady Minto of COVID-19?
At this point in time, the cases that we have been following are all home in stable condition as per public health site.
Thank you very much.
And show these all to Dr. Canton. First of all, thank you for being part of this conference. I understand well the pressures that you're under. I'm just curious, like, how many calls are you getting a day? Just out of curiosity.
It has varied greatly. So the calls we're keeping track across the Porcupine Health Unit region, although we are still getting lots of calls in our branch offices and not necessarily through the hotline. We've had several days where we're over 100, so over 300 a few times, over 200 several times, over 100. I don't have a formal tally of the number overall, but we are fielding significant calls. And as we see any changes across the system, whether it's local or not, we definitely see an increase in those.
And the last question, staffing wise, are you guys doing okay? And the thing that go to rehab in the hospital?
Yes, definitely. We are. We have a very strong team at the Porcupine Health Unit. We have been all hands on deck for COVID-19. We instituted our incident management system, IMS, at the end of January, February, when we first started preparing for this, when we first started conducting monitoring across the system with provincial, regional, and federal partners, and we continue to do so. This means that other public health services obviously have been curtailed in order to have the capacity to meet the demand for COVID-19, but at this point in time, the Porcupine Health Unit, we have the capacity, we remain prepared, we remain able to respond as needed to COVID-19.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Catton. I'm checking in to see if there's a message today from the Timmins Police Service.
Thanks, Dave. There is a message today for the public, but specifically I want to direct my message to the members of the BIA and the Chamber of Commerce. I just wanted to take this time to advise you that we have deployed officers to enhance ordinary and routine patrol activities based on the emerging changes in our community due to COVID-19. Our uniformed patrol section manpower remains stable, so our platoons are deploying a healthy number of officers to address our regular call volume. Also, other officers have been focused on property-related crime and incidents, specifically increased patrols with a focus on property checks and monitoring in the community is taking place. Further, the calls for service are being regularly reviewed every day in an attempt to identify any crime or calls for service trends that emerge so resources can be deployed to target these emerging issues and hotspots. Also want to add that the Timmins Police Service has a pandemic plan in place. Within that plan is an operational plan that deals with officer deployment. I'll speak to social media posts that happen daily that are not always truthful or accurate as it relates to policing or our efforts. So unless you hear it directly from myself, the deputy chief, or through Mark DePotti, I'm not going to say not to believe it, but take it with a grain of salt. Also want to just discuss the current numbers of break-ins. We've been tracking, as I stated previously, we've been tracking break-in enters since the 24th of March. We've received 24 calls related to break-ins or attempt break-ins. And of the 24, 3 were in businesses. So that would mean that the other 21 were residential. So that is important for people to understand because we have to divide our time between residential patrols, the downtown, and commercial property. Lastly, I want to thank everyone for their support as we move through this very, very challenging time.
All right, thank you, Chief Gauthier. On behalf of the City of Timmins, we just have a quick message about property and property taxes and water bills. So as you're all aware, Council has taken a position outlined in Resolution 2020-56 to waive interest, penalties and charges on property taxes and water bills during this public health situation. While property taxes and water bills are due on an annual basis, we do not know the duration or depth of this crisis at this point in time, nor are we able to project outwards further into the year how long this will be. From administration, we will keep council updated on the impacts of this crisis, and we will work with homeowners and businesses to develop, if and when necessary, payment plans to reduce the impacts when we return to normal operation of outstanding water and tax bill. From here, we'll open up to the media for some questions.
Can I just give you a quick report to issue?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no, I just expected I was going to be able to give a very quick suit of what's going on here literally. Won't take more than 2 minutes.
Okay, sure.
Sorry.
So, first of all, thanks for reaching out and having me be part of this. I think it's important. There's one message that I really want to bring, and that's to all of our partners and agencies, municipal sector, and others that are under either provincial funding or provincial authority. If there's anything that you need help with in regards to particular circumstances that you've run up against and that you're having a difficulty trying to deal with, get a hold of me directly or through my office. Give me my cell number right now, and it's not to be published, it's not to be put in the media, just for those people around. Most of you have my number, but it's 705. The reality is that I've heard the comments a couple of times where people say, you know, it's really great that MPPs of all stripes are working together and political parties are pushing in the same direction, and that's very true at the provincial, municipal, and federal level. But you should know that we do that regularly. The only time we're really hostile is during election time, or all that question period. But regularly, we work with each other. I was in contact with Sylvia Jones this weekend, the Solicitor General, in regards to issues that were brought to my attention. I've been in contact with various ministers and ministries directly. So if there's something, and I've gotten a couple of them this morning from the Chamber of Commerce that we have, that I can be helpful with, please feel free to contact me in order to be able to assist. The last thing I'll say, and I'll just end on this point, the provincial government has decided that income replacement is going to become the federal responsibility, and that's why we've seen the federal government respond with a $500 per week EI benefit, and the NDP has been successful in getting that distributed much easier without going through the hoops that you would normally go through. We at the provincial level of all stripes believe that there needs to be more to support individuals and businesses in our community. And one of the things that we announced today is, and we've been, you know, sort of going after the government internally about this, is that people are coming to the end of the month and they're not going to be able to pay their personal rent in some cases, or they will not be able to pay their business rent in other cases. And we've asked the government to step up by allowing an 80% rent subsidy to be able to close easily to people that are in that situation, so that we don't have landlords that are without their money and tenants either commercial or individual who are not able to pay their rent and fall behind and end up being evicted after all this is over. So it's really important that we find a way forward to assist people, because small businesses and individuals who don't have an income are going to need some help. So again, the message is that everybody work together, and if there's anything I can do, don't be afraid to call.
We've got questions here.
Yeah. So if we'll move now to the media for questions.
Okay, it's Elena from the Daily Press. I just have a clarifying question.
Go ahead.
So I know Chief Walker mentioned this, but I just wanted to clarify with Dr. Chapman. There's currently 5 confirmed cases in Hibbett and 5 Edmonton. And are they in Cochrane, or which part of the region are they in?
At this point in time, I will confirm that we have Simmons and Cochrane. However, going forward, again, the most important thing is that every community member and every community really take the precautions necessary. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Got you. Thank you.
There was just one more question from it was Councillor Curry, and he was questioning again, Dr. Catton, in relation to the number of tests that have been conducted, and should we be conducting more?
Thank you, Mayor Perry. Yes. So at this point in time, and throughout this entire process, the Porcupine Health Unit has been following the guidance and recommendations for testing, which is based on the best evidence, surveillance, and monitoring from the Ministry of Health and the Ministry of Health and the Chief Medical Officer of Health's Office, as well as Public Health Ontario. And we're grateful for their ongoing support and guidance, and that's something that we continue to follow. It's really difficult to compare to other areas, as there are many factors involved in looking at whether tests are done for specific individuals or not. At this point in time, we have conducted over 260, probably more by now, tests, and we are seeing that increase regularly as well. The other important part of monitoring is that we also are able to keep an eye on what we're seeing in the acute healthcare sector. And at this point in time, we haven't seen, I believe, any signals of sort of increased illnesses that may be there. So that's another piece that's being monitored locally, regionally, and across the province. At this point in time, we continue to work with all our healthcare providers and all of our communities to support assessment for potential testing of individuals with concerns, and the self-assessment tool online does help with that. I think the main message is that regardless of the number of tests and the number of positives, the measures are the same, and we need to recognize that the system will not be limitless at some point. Now, we're still in here. We're not stopping testing by any means, but there's not a limitless capacity to test across the province, and so it will eventually shift to more specific guidance in the future, although right now it's just recently changed and we're increasing that communication with all of our groups and all of our community. The most essential thing is for anyone who is unwell or has symptoms to stay home and not expose anyone else, and for everyone else to follow the precautions regardless of the number of tests that are identified or listed in any particular community. The biggest opportunity is to physically distance, stay home as much as possible, and follow the infection prevention recommendations that we continue to share. Thank you.
Thank you, Doctor.
Are there any other questions from the media? Okay, with that, our MPP has already given a message, so we'll ask Mayor Peary to offer closing remarks.
Thanks again, everybody, for being on this call. The information we have today is, in fact, that we're stable at this point in time. It's March 30th. We're almost 2 full weeks into the declaration of emergency in the province. We will have the next couple of weeks will be dreadfully important to see where we go, if the all the advice has been followed. It's the only advice that can be given. And it's just this simple. Assume everybody you meet has it. And if you've got a sniffle or a cough, assume you have it and take the appropriate action. So if we all follow that, we'll be safe. The limits of social gathering are 5, and that's awful close to lockdown. We don't really want to go there. We want to show responsible behavior as responsible adults. If we do it, we'll be all right. We'll be doing these calls every single day. We expect to have Timmins District Hospital on the line tomorrow with more fulsome information. But even the two hospitals that we know that have had cases, we don't have any COVID-19 in that facility. So we've got full capacity available there. Let's hope it stays that way. And it can stay that way based on our actions. So thanks very much.
Thank you all.